level of dental care. Your smile deserves it.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's 19 minutes now past the hour of 6 o'clock, and I am joined now by, as I've been telling you this morning, Dr. Alan Hassan. Dr. Hassan, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Good
nice to visit with you this morning. And we also have with us Nate Perrin. Mr. Perrin, good morning to you.
Good morning. Not your typical Monday morning school show.
No, I mean, typically we do talk to Red Oak schools, but it's summertime, so.
Yeah.
How's your summer going?
It's good. It's been good. It started slow because the heat didn't come until later.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, but you know, we can always put the heat aside. So
yeah,
it's a typical summer. So
Let's talk to Dr. Hassan if we can. How did you two meet? How did Dr. Hassan get in touch with Nate?
Well, before the movie thing came up, I called him and I said, I think I'll come into some money and I want to give it to Red Oak because I don't have any heirs. My wife had a very sad situation at a young age, could not have babies. So I wanted to touch base with the person and kind of in charge of the students.
Gotcha.
Because I felt that the money that we have from various circumstances should go to Red Oak, my favorite place in the world. I always tell people Sacramento is the city of trees, but Red Oak has them beat.
Yeah.
Because the trees in Red Oak are just beautiful.
So, Dr. Hassan, let's back up. You graduated from Red Oak High School in 1953.
Correct.
You and I say doctor because you're a medical doctor, you're an attorney, and you're a doctor of veterinary medicine.
Correct.
So you spent some time in the classroom through the years, Dr.
I was educated to the point of absurdity.
So tell me about your time growing up in Red Oak. Where did you grow up? You grew up on the farm. Tell me a little bit about your time in Red Oak.
We had a place on 1301 Summit Street, which was an acreage where I had my horses.
Uh-huh.
I had three or four horses. My grandpa was a fantastic individual. He took over after my mother was.
Who was your grandpa?
Pete Tuttle. He had the C.E. Tuttle hatchery that was always visible.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 18 acres where my horses would roam.
Okay.
And I had the idyllic childhood. We had the farm where I'd ride my horse 3 miles daily during the summer, at least, to go out to the farm to help build the dairy barn, the hog house, the swimming pool for the hogs. We did everything possible to make it the, quote, show place of Southwest Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. So where was that at? Where was the farm at?
3 miles west of Red Oak.
Okay.
On Highway 34.
Yeah. Kind of out where the cell barn is at now, right?
It's right there.
That's where it's at.
Yep.
So you have fond memories growing up on the farm just west of Red Oak.
Right.
So then after graduation, graduating from Red Oak in 1953, talk to me about your path to becoming a medical doctor, a doctor of veterinary medicine, and an attorney. Walk me through that path.
Okay. Well, when I graduated kind of young because I started school when I was four because they wanted me to, this was in California where when you're in first grade, you learn how to paint, sing, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And so I came here in third grade. I didn't know how to spell, didn't know how to read, and so I had to relearn. The teacher said, your grandson can't stay. He'll have to be set back a year. And my grandpa says, no, just keep him after school till he catches up.
Okay. All right.
So I made so many wonderful friends all the way through high school. And I got kicked in the head by a horse, so I was unconscious a couple of weeks. And when they were doing surgery, I could hear him talk. He's going to be mentally retarded, and he won't be able to see out of his right eye, and he won't be able to smell. Well, I'm thinking about that. And so when the nurse asked me in ICU, she said, what's your name? I said, I don't know. Oh, well, where are you born? Rated? I don't know. California?
Yeah.
And so she started crying. My grandpa was he was a gambler, standing in the doorway. He said, oh, he's just putting you on. So I went from terrible grades in ninth and 10th grade to straight A's my senior year.
Oh, wow.
Then I went to Iowa State for a year and one quarter. And again, I didn't do that well the first quarter. I was working my way through, by working on the dairy farm. And but I decided to get straight A's before I joined the Corps because I didn't want them to say, oh, he flunked out of school and he had to join the Corps. So I got straight A's. Then when I was in the Corps, I got an appointment to Annapolis because of my grades in high school.
Okay.
I mean, in college.
Okay.
So I got an appointment to Annapolis. Gradually, I became a commander in the Coast Guard. And then I came back to Iowa.
How many years were you in the Coast Guard?
I was only aboard ship for about 6 months.
Okay.
Because as soon as I went aboard ship, they were short of doctors for the USS Constitution. It was actually a tour ship.
Okay.
That used to be the ship where Grace Kelly and her husband sailed around the world in, on this particular ship. So I was in charge of the, a lot of fun things happened aboard that ship, I can tell you that.
Okay.
As a doctor aboard a ship, you see a lot of wonderful things.
Yeah.
A lot of wonderful people, of course. So yeah, you always had a lot of spark and enjoyment in the things. Anything related to medicine,
mm-hmm.
I was really, really good at. Law, I was not ever intending to become a lawyer. But when I came back from Vietnam, there was a nasty letter on my file that said, I identified too closely with misfits and underdogs and poor people, especially Arabs. I don't have any, quote, Arab friends. I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Mm-hmm.
I had one Egyptian psychologist, but that was about it. So I decided to go to law school to protect my butt.
Okay, so you became a medical doctor prior to Vietnam. And then you went to Vietnam for... Yeah. When were you in Vietnam?
A total of probably 7.5 months.
Okay.
So to track, he when he went to the Coast Guard, he then came back and finished school at Iowa State.
Oh, yeah.
He forgot. He skipped that part.
Yeah.
And that was when he finished his veterinary
degree.
I did vet school first after I got out of the Corps. They let me get into vet school because I had really good grades, but when I got out of the Marine Corps, my brain was not functioning at a very high level. So one of the professors, Dr. O'Mara, said, you better reenlist in the Corps. You're not making it, because I was 2 weeks late getting back to Iowa. I said, the lights are going on. He said, you better have a good electrician because you're not doing well. But he said, come in this afternoon. So he gave me all the exams that I had flunked. We took an exam each week. I aced them, so I made it back into the groove.
Okay.
But I had to study night and day to get the grades up. Then I went through vet school, which was a lot of fun. I had a lot of wonderful classmates. And then the head of the anatomy department said, if you want to be an MD, I'll write you a commendation.
Okay.
So I had my house mother from Acacia, which was an honor fraternity, said, you need to be an MD. I said, well, I love animals. She said, well, you can start to love people too.
So you were a doctor of veterinary medicine first.
Yes.
Where did you go to medical school?
Well, I went almost directly out of vet school. I went to med school.
Mm-hmm.
But vet school was a foundation for my surgery because we learned a lot of surgery on small animals.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Vietnam, I had 8 corpsmen that worked for me. They said, you're a really good surgeon. Where did you go to school? I said, I went to vet school.
Okay.
Oh, that was a start. Then I went on to med school. A real, really joyful trip because I already had the fundamentals down. And I had I seemed to be really good at pediatrics, which was a kind of a spinoff from vet school. Small animals and kids are much the same.
Okay.
So med school is University of Iowa, correct?
Yes. Right. Okay.
So here I was going to show you this, Aaron. This is a photo. He was on the Iowa State University Student Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah?
With Senator Tom Harkin at the time.
No way.
Yeah. And
Tom worked for me.
You can move the photo up and down there a little bit. You can see the writing on the bottom. That was... Cornell, one of his publicists he's been working with in California, sent me that photo. You didn't even know I had that photo.
I didn't know he had it.
Yeah, I don't know where he got it.
Yeah.
Out of the year.
And you were the chairman.
The book
he was,
you were the chairman. of the Student Supreme Court.
I said, very cool. I should have gone on to become president of the United States.
Because he was Harkin's boss, he said.
Well, you were the chairman.
The reason Harkin didn't win was that he had said he was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. Well, what he really did was he flew planes from Hong Kong to Saigon.
Okay.
But then he dropped out of the race immediately after they started scolding him about that.
So at what point? So then you went to vet school first, then to the Coast Guard, then you got your medical degree from the University of Iowa, to Vietnam for 7 months. You got out of, when you returned home, you decided that maybe you should get your law degree to protect yourself.
Right.
Okay. So then were you in Iowa or were you back in California during these times?
California.
Okay.
I met a doctor in Vietnam who ended up giving me his practice.
Okay.
Because he bought a yacht and started sailing the Gulf of Mexico. And so he gave me his practice was a great way to get started.
Yeah.
I was busy off the bat.
Absolutely. So how long did you practice? And did you practice medicine or did you
–
have you practiced – you practiced medicine?
I practiced law, but not very much.
Okay.
I do medical, legal, and veterans. I wrote a book on veterans – that was used, it still is used in the White House to improve benefits for veterans. It's called The Ghosts of War.
Okay.
It's a 5-star book.
I think when we had the opportunity to visit on Saturday, you were telling me about The Ghosts of War.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. So how many books have you written?
Well, 3 major ones.
Okay.
Evaluation and Treatment of Brain and Spinal Cord Trauma, Ghosts of War, and A Failure to Atone.
Okay. And how long did you practice? Do you still practice?
I'm still practicing. We ran into some difficulty, which I happened to be with being on the terrorism list.
Okay, tell me about that. Tell me about that.
Is this my
story? No, I don't think it is.
We're good.
Yeah,
I kind of get a chance to air it out right here on.
Well, let's talk about it. So you were on the terrorist watch list.
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me about that.
Well, I got a letter from a bank. They wouldn't renew my mortgages. They said you're on this list. They sent me the list.
He gave me a whole stack of papers.
And
what year was this, Dr. Hassan?
In 2000, I discovered it in 2000. No, after 9/11.
Okay. Sure.
So we ended up with a lawsuit called a continuing wrong lawsuit. That means you can go back 50 years. There's no statute of limitations. You can pick up all the letters. And so we had a patient of mine couldn't get his medication because the pharmacist said, well, he's on the terrorist list. We can't give him the blah, and on and on. So I was caught in a big whirlwind.
Yeah.
And fortunately, my patients loved me so much, I continued until the medical board, in all their wisdom, took my license. And that's costing them probably $500 million.
Wow.
Because when a case went to the Supreme Court, similar to mine, where the guy was put on the terror list, and he had to appeal 3 times to get it to the Supreme Court, 9-0, they found in his favor and gave him, he was a janitor or something like that. They gave him $15 million, but they give you money depending on what your career was. It was interrupted.
Okay.
So that was supposed to come in the mail. The lawsuit is kind of fun to look at because, to me, I found out if you don't let those rascals get you down, just keep going. But things have turned out really well because I had so many people pitch in. My study partner from law school took over my case against the medical board, and he's the best. He was a cop. A cop before he became a lawyer.
Okay.
And he and my other study partner was a district attorney for 20 years. So with the 3 of us, we started with 120. We graduated to 11.
Wow.
So the 3 of us made it, and each one of us had our own.
So how did you find out that you were on the terror watch list? How did that come up?
Well, I couldn't get the loan.
Okay.
So someone mailed me anonymously, mailed the letter with the information, the typed information that said I was on the terror list.
So how did you extricate your name from the terrorist watch list, or are you still working on that procedure?
The lawsuit is now, we just got it, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, we got it into the courthouse.
Okay.
Yes. So we're gonna have fun with that because the reason I work out all the time is I want to make sure I survived enough to listen to laugh at the medical board. Because here I was, they wanted me to run the medical board back in 1982. But after 9/11, I went on this list.
Yeah.
And it was because of the first letter that said I identified too much with poor people.
Right. Okay.
So that was more like Jesus Christ, I think.
Dr. Alan Hassan with us this morning, or Hassan, in Southwest Iowa with us this morning, as well as Nate Perrin. 1953 graduate from the Red Oak High School. I grew up just west of town, a few miles out west of town where the cell barn is at.
Well, actually, I grew up at 1301 Summit Street.
The house was 1301 Farm.
All right. Went to veterinary school, a medical doctor, and an attorney. And now there's a movie.
Maybe a film. Right?
Maybe a movie.
Author. So
what's going on? Tell me what's going on with that.
So I think that's what's captivated me. And on the drive, after I picked him up to give him a ride down here this morning, I said, you know, Alan, I said, I think they should do a movie about your life. It might be more interesting and view worthy than just this, just the kind of the general story behind A Failure to Atone, which I have not read yet. I've read the summaries of the book, which sound interesting.
What's Failure to Atone about?
So I was going to say, let's have him explain the listeners.
Smartphone.
Yes, I have it. So. Yes. So the book, Failure to Atone. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was, I had this on my mind because my wife said at one point, she was a young girl. I was an old guy of 35. She was 21. And she said, you have PTSD. I said, how do you know it? Even doctors don't seem to know about that. But she was runner-up to Miss USA. She was very, very bright as well as beautiful. And she said, you got to get some psychiatric help for your PTSD. And I said, well, I'm a psychiatrist. She said, you need a second opinion.
Okay.
And
so this is the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Gotcha. All right. So that is the true story of a jungle surgeon in Vietnam. And you're wanting to produce a movie about that, or to have a movie made about
it. The Hollywood people said this. It was in several letters that they said that this is a book, but it should be a movie.
Okay.
One very long dissertation from Singapore said this should be made into a movie.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of support from the people who have read the book.
Okay. I need to order this book and dive in and read. So
it didn't quite make 5 stars. It made 4 3/4.
I see that. Yeah, 4 3/4 stars. So you bet. So are you talking to executives and producers now, or where's it at in process?
We have two what they call filmmakers that outline the way the movie should go. One of the gentlemen who started the thing rolling is Cornell Kay. He's a brilliant guy, has a radio station, but he is theory about the book didn't fit what I thought. He was more into the brutality of the CIA trying to kill me, stuff like that. Well, it's true they did, but it wasn't a big part of the book.
I kind of want to hear that story, Dr. Hassan.
They're never ending.
I kind of want to hear that story. So the CIA was...
Yeah, they set me up to be killed because I had 8 corpsmen working for me, and they brought 40 babies into my little hospital in Quang Tri. And they were all shot through the head. So I said to my corpsman, I'm going to turn this in to the government to let someone investigate why this happened. I was in shock when I saw these babies all shot through the head. Well-dressed, nice little clean clothes, dead. So then 2 days later, in come these two guys, well-dressed. They were obviously spooks, we call them.
Yeah.
And I knew where they were going right away. They said, we hear you got trouble here. I don't have any trouble. I said, I understood that they were. I said, look, I'm a former U.S. Marine. The Marines are getting their balls blown off. Let's face it. This is a hell of a, this is a terrible war.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, one of them looked at me and he said, you came this far from being off last night. Now, I found out later that there were over 300 Americans in Vietnam that were killed for having ideas contrary to the war effort.
Wow. Wow.
It was a nasty war.
Yes, it was.
And I ended up with such good friendships among the Vietnamese that gradually the Viet Cong stopped shooting at me. For a while, first of all, I got blown out of my bedroom. The Vietnamese then went out and made a bunker, a really great bunker. That's where the CIA came into the bunker to ask me if I should be killed. Should you be killed or not? It wasn't quite that flagrant, but it was pretty close to that.
Right.
I said, they said something about you're in trouble. I said, oh, you mean the mortars that were falling? Because every 20 seconds or half a minute, a mortar artillery would go off all night long.
Oh, wow.
I said, so, oh, yeah. They said, you almost got killed last night. I said, the mortars. They said, you know what we mean. So I put that in the book, right?
Well, yeah.
I ended up going to New York where the CIA cross-examined me about the book.
Oh, wow.
But they had the wrong guy down. They didn't know that Ho Chi Minh was rescuing pilots who bailed out over North Vietnam. But they said it was the Second World War. I said, no, it was Vietnam. Oh. So I said, I have to set the record straight. How can you quiz me if you don't know which war Ho Chi Minh was involved in? But anyway, the CIA, after it was all done, first of all, they said, the speaker, it was a talk show, pointed at me and said, just who is supposed to atone? I said, me, sir. I'm supposed to. He had a good answer. Then they quizzed me for about 3 hours. And afterwards, the CIA said, guy, he's from, it's right down the road where the CIA agency mm-hmm. was. He said, you know, this book is accurate. He didn't try to say, oh, this couldn't have happened. He didn't say that at all.
Well, I think I'm with you, Nate. Maybe a movie about Dr. Hassan's life, I think.
Well, just everything from, like, the accident, you know, getting, when he was young, getting kicked and not even expected to graduate
recover.
High school, really. Yeah. And all the different degrees he's had and the experiences he's had. And then to think you're 89, right? He says he likes to tell people he's 90 because it sounds more rounded. But to think that he is driven enough to come back to mm-hmm. his hometown to tell the story, to try to drum up some local support for, I guess, would be the beginning makings of the film about his book. And I do think Dr. Hassan probably downplays his life and to a degree of its significance. And he focuses on the story because he's told me a lot about how he really cared about the people of Vietnam. And
right.
And that's really what he wants the story to be about. But you're right that him in general is what is amazing. When I had no idea he was coming until Sunday or Monday. He gave me a call.
Yeah.
And Sarah had a class reunion this weekend. I have a medical procedure this morning, and I thought this is not a good time for you to come up here because I'm just going to be, you know, super busy but it's been great. Just listening to him talk.
So 1953 graduated Red Oak. How long were you in the Red Oak school system?
From third grade.
Third grade on. Okay. Just till your graduation.
Graduation.
How can people find out more? You talk about this movie project or Dr. Hassan.
The book outlines my early life.
Yeah.
And my grandpa, Pete Tuttle, he was kind of the patriarch of Red Oak. He was he started the radio station, KICK,
okay.
in the 1930s. He had five Jennies, so he did barnstorming throughout southwest Iowa.
Oh, wow.
He had the hatchery, two pop factories, a nightclub, a goofy golf course. He did everything just because he was a flamboyant guy. I think I had some genetic passing.
But as far as the movie project itself, how can people, can they find out more? Is there a website or a...
I think that's what Cornell has been...
Yeah, we do need some funding for the start. But the producers all said they're very interested, but Cornell has to, and my other guy, Scott Morgan, they have to put the piece together so that they are what they call the filmmakers. They, mm-hmm. they take all the book and put it into a movie format.
Okay.
And he said you got to get some extra donations because they need at least 50,000 to make it into an Academy Award winner to soak the fire. And I said, well, Red Oak is my hometown. I want to pay it back. I said, I don't want to take money from people in Red Oak unless we pay it back. Mm-hmm. There's going to be millions come in on the books, so they're going to pay me $5 million, and I want to pay my money to Red Oak, because I told, even before the movie, I told, before I knew about the movie,
right.
I talked to Nate. I said, you know, I want to bring some money to Red Oak for the high school, grade school, et cetera, and give my, because the money I had, I had about 25 to 30 million in assets, but when I put on the terrorist list, I lost everything. My ranch, I raised racehorses, and I flew an Aronca airplane. I had the world by the tail, and everything was well. But after 9/11,
it all changed.
It all changed.
Wow.
But the government is kind enough to allow us to get it back.
Okay.
So he originally, the movie thing, when he originally called me months ago,
I don't think I mentioned
he that. Didn't. There wasn't such a thing.
Right.
And so the book was how I looked him up, and I'm like, oh, I think this guy's actually telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so we had a few conversations over the phone. Really, it was early on. It was about, he's aging. He wants to come back to Red Oak and visit. He doesn't really have a whole lot of family that he could leave anything to, and he'd love to donate money to the community and to the school. And I thought, this sounds like a great guy. I'm going to look into him. And so the more I talked, then he got contacted by people about his book in the meantime to turn it into a film. And that's when I started really learning everything about him. That's when I found out about all his assets were basically dissolved. And so I learned everything about Alan, Dr. Hassan over the course of time. He was come hell or high water. He was coming to Red Oak this weekend. I think Cornell was trying to talk you out of
him,
it,
but I love Red Oak.
Yeah. So we never really met each other in person
until
I picked him up and brought him down to the parade on Saturday.
I thought this was Nate's son, but it was Nate.
Yeah. He said he thought I looked too young to be a principal, which was great.
A great compliment
but,
to you.
But that's kind of what captivated me. And then you'd spend time with him in person and you hear him tell. I mean, just sitting here today at the radio station, I heard a story, a couple of them that I haven't heard yet, that just pieced together his interesting path that journey he's been on. And so he's here today. He's hoping. So basically it's one, let people know about it. Let him know he's a real person.
Yes.
He graduated from Red Oak. He's working to get a trust set up here. Actually, he wants me to do it. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. In law school, I took a trust class.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd be involved in it.
So that people know that there, you know, when there's a trust, there's a specific thing that the finances are used for. And then if it doesn't get used for that, it goes back. So he wants to get the story out there. When that happens, I guess, if and when that would be developed, then people know, local people know that, hey, when you see for a year or so, you see different events or fundraisers or things that go to this trust, that it's real.
For.
It's not some random guy from California trying to raise money. And then you never know what happens with it. That's kind of his goal here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been more than happy, to help him do that.
Very good. All right. Mr. Perrin, nice to see you. You have things to take care of this morning.
I got a little bit of time, so I'm going to go try to take a nap.
Yeah. Dr. Hassan, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming by.
Do you have a card?
I know. I have over here in the corner. I have one I can grab you. So, but absolutely, it's a pleasure to visit with you. And
thank you.
It's a super fascinating story.
Thank you.
And very cool. Yeah. Well, you'll stay in touch, right?
You brag about your work and so on when you're young, you're called narcissistic. When you brag about it when you're old, you're called an old geezer.
That's exactly right. So. All right, Dr. Hassan. Well, we'll stay in touch and we'll keep up with what's going on. Nice to visit with you.
Yeah, I'd like to have your card and you wanted to take a picture?
Yes, we'll do that. Thank you, Dr. Hassan. Yeah, we'll be right back. And again, Dr. Hassan with us this morning, and our thanks to him and to Nate for coming by this morning.
It's time for an update of area obituaries and schedule of funerals.